In today's episode, we're going to discuss the definition of a natural-born salesperson, how the Friedman Group has put processes and systems in place that are very transferable to any industry to help improve both natural-born salespeople and average salespeople into a higher level of salesmanship. Harry's going to reference some examples that he's had over the past 35 years, and really we're going to dive into how everything from your opening line to your appearance can actually affect the sale. Let's see what Harry has to say. Welcome back, everyone. I have Harry Friedman here once again. Today I wanted to chat about a natural-born salesperson. What are the skills that define a natural-born salesperson, and what are the skills that we can improve upon to create the best salespeople possible? Harry, welcome back.
Justin, how are you?
I'm feeling great. Feeling really good.
Terrific. Well, I love the subject. It's so many people have asked me about this over the years. So whether I wanted to think about it or not, I've been thinking about it. You know, take a look around. There are people that are musically inclined. They can pick up instruments and play them fairly quickly. Artistically inclined people. So I think that, you know, naturally as human beings, we have certain attributes or inherent skills or something that causes us to be, you know, fairly good at something without even, you know, a whole bunch of training and development. There are certain people that can get up and hit a golf ball and other people can never hit a golf ball. I think you get what I'm saying. So let's talk about natural born salespeople. It really has a lot to do with the desire to play the game. So first of all, we know that certain people are offended by the idea of salespeople altogether. And that's really just a reaction to having come across some really bad people, really bad character actors in the world of selling in their past somewhere. And somebody was pushy or aggressive with them and they naturally retreat or repelled by it. But it's really a matter of the desire, the intent, the motivation to play the game. And the game is that you meet people and you talk about some product or service. And in your mind, as the salesperson's mind, they actually want to cut the deal. Now, natural-born salespeople, this is a great misunderstanding, are not necessarily that great. They're good because they want to play the game. And as a result, will naturally try to close the deal more often. And people who try to close the deal more often ultimately are more successful than people that just make presentations and don't go for the close, right? It's almost like they're docents at an art gallery.
And when you're talking about playing in the game, what are you specifically thinking about? When you use the phrase, they want to play in the game, what is the game?
Well, I look at things, I always look at things in terms of games. There are opponents, there are obstacles, there are situations that occur, and that's the game that we're playing. Get past the obstacles, get into the open, and catch the big, touchdown pass. It's not negative. I have no negative feelings about calling it a game, and I'm not lessening its importance at all. It's just a matter of I play the sales game. I mean, it's just, you know, some people play the doctor game or the accountant game. That's how I'm referring to it. And I think of customers as opponents, and I don't think of them as I'm, you know, trying to do anything negative, but that's the game. I've got somebody who is shopping. I've got to turn them into a buyer and let the games begin. And I'm going to do that through a process. I recall as a very young salesperson, I loved it. I mean, I loved the idea that I was presenting merchandise or services, trying to get their excitement and desire up. And I made so many mistakes. I would have to say that I'm a natural born salesperson. I'm a natural born leader as well. but that does not mean that I had very good skills. So I missed a lot of sales early on, even though I had the desire. So the big question is, you know, the natural born salesperson versus the highly skilled and trained salesperson, who comes out ahead? You know, I mean, if all things are created equal, a natural born salesperson without training versus someone who's not so natural, that's very, very well trained. It's a toss up, but more times than not, the highly trained person would win.
Now, when we're talking about training, I think it's just an appropriate time to talk about what the Freedman Group specifically trains on to take people from raw talent to great salespeople. You know, so there's a transition that occurs. You have raw talent, or you may have raw talent, but we want to take that one step further.
And, you know, we have such great, I have hundreds of stories, you know, over the course of my career. I've been really blessed, and our selling process or system is the number one system used by more people than any other training program in the world, by far. I mean, it's not even close. By virtue of two clients, I'm the number one sales training guy. So what my mind works to simplify things. I like to think that I have some interesting academic background, but in fact, I really like to make things simple. Ockham's razor, you know, the simplest solution wins. My selling system is built based on human interaction. Two people meeting for the first time and the dance that goes on. I've broken it into some logical steps. For example, we have a whole dissertation on opening the sale. And opening the sale, I have lectured on opening the sale for 5 hours straight just because I think it's that important. What is it all about? How does it work? What are the implications? Well, as you start to delve in, you realize that even the physical approach, just how you walk up to someone, can impact how they feel about you. I've talked about everything from how you dress, how you carry yourself, from jewelry to perfume to beards to the whole idea. And these are just reference points. You just have to understand that if you've got pierced, if you're a guy and you've pierced your eyebrow and your ears and you got tattoos on your neck, that's great. I actually embrace all that. But in fact, there are some people at a certain age that are going, that's kind of weird. And so if we're aware of how we look, that's a radical example. But if in a calm example, just too much jewelry can set things off. So what I've done is taken a selling process and broken it into steps that are easy to understand. And the results have been quite remarkable. I get stories all the time of people that said, look, I didn't know anything about selling at all, and I used your selling system, and I've been very, very successful. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
It's very cool. You know, a lot of this, whenever you're talking about training people and getting them kind of to follow a process, my mind always goes back to football. I know we love using analogies, but there's this sense that when I was growing up and when I was first starting to play, there was a lot of people on the team that had exceptional raw talent. Right? They can run faster. They were always stronger. And that raw talent never transferred into understanding the plays and the performance on the field day one, right? There's a playbook that's unique to the, if you want to call it the company or the coach, and you got to learn that playbook. So it doesn't matter how much raw talent you have. If you don't know the plays, you fail, right? So I look at training and think about, in a business standpoint, what's your playbook and what are the tools you're giving your teams and what are the tools they need to follow to succeed? Because it doesn't matter how much raw talent you have, but you're not going to be able to actually perform at the level we all want unless you're following specific steps.
You know, you're right. Retail's just a touch different. It's not so accountable. Now it is, I mean, we hold salespeople accountable from a metric point of view, but in fact, Very few organizations really get down and dirty and control behaviors. The great ones do, for sure. I did in my stores all the time. So let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Someone who makes a demonstration on a product that's very enthusiastic inserts their personality into the presentation without a whole bunch of real crazy skill is still going to perform very, very, very well. That differs from football. I mean, the guy who doesn't understand how to move as a defensive back, you know, he's going to get toasted every time. So it's not quite comparable like that, but close enough. I know, for example, my team playbook as a coach, where the similarities would be, that I wanted people to make certain kinds of demonstrations at the beginning. In other words, well, I'll give you an example. I like people in a retail environment to tell the customer a little bit about the company's history and some of the products and services that we offer in a kind of an introduction to our store type of thing. And it's worked really, really, really well. Those are the kind of things I like to control. I like to control demonstrations where salespeople get the customer involved at every single opportunity. I don't like salespeople to touch merchandise. I like customers to touch merchandise. So these are kinds of things that I control. And the reason is that there are better ways to do it. There are more skillful ways to do it. And that's all brought out in our selling course, which is just really cool. Even objections, how you handle objections. There's such a sane, easy way to do it. And yet without that training, salespeople seem to be lost every time a customer says, the price is too high, or I'll be back, I'll think it over, I want to shop around, I want to talk to my dog, you know, all that. So there are skills, there's ability, there's knowledge, all goes into making anybody in any occupation successful.
Okay, so I got a question. And I feel like a lot of people ask this, and people have different opinions. Extroverts versus introverts as a salesperson. Does it matter?
I don't know. The guy who's selling caskets in the funeral parlor, you kind of want him to be a little bit quiet about the whole thing. You know. So I think it has a little bit to do with the product and service that you're offering in one way, in terms of maybe that's just the tone of your presentation, not introvert versus extrovert. I mean, the simple answer to me is, you can't be introverted and be a salesperson at the same time. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. You're meeting strangers or people that, yeah, strangers. Frankly, you're meeting strangers if it's the first time you're in contact with your customer. And it's got to be your desire to make the stranger a friend and to find out what their hopes, dreams, and desires are and get around to making a presentation that results in a sale. I don't know that you could be introverted about that concept. So, have I met people that have a quieter, more determined personality? Yes. And can they be successful? Absolutely. So, Justin, I have to question you on the question more than the answer itself.
Well, yeah, there's been a few there's been a few companies I worked with where you look at their sales team and you have a lot of people that are just not willing to step outside the box. They're just not willing to even get connected to a client. And you sit there and go, well, I don't know how much training you need. What you really need is just people that want to get after it, that actually want to have a conversation. And if
that's right, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And that's what I was saying to you before. First of all, there's some basic premises. The intent, which intention, it's probably one of the most powerful attributes any human being could have in their life. One should think about intention. And we have so many examples in our life where we've made things happen almost mystically. And it always kind of surprises people. You might meet someone, you say, wow, that guy's really powerful. And if you really think about what power means, it turns out to be intention. They already see the finish before the game even started. It's just details that they have to fill in. I've never asked myself if a customer was going to buy. I just don't do that. I only question how much they're going to buy, and then I go about doing the work necessary to get me there. But the game is all about intention. So regardless of whether you're an introvert or extrovert or you're just overt, I think it's just a matter of, do you want to play this game and do you want to win? And then we fill in the details of process and skills and ability and knowledge and all those things.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, so the great news is, doesn't actually matter who's on your team. What matters is, do you have a formal training in place? Have you touched on the areas of your playbook that you want to address with your team? And are they executing? That's the question.
Well, okay, so let's take a look at this with another analogy that might be even a little bit closer to the truth. And it's one of the ones that I enjoy the most, and that's a conductor of an orchestra. Okay, so you have, you know, in a typical symphony orchestra, you have 65 players. I mean, this is not plugged in with electronic music. These guys are playing instruments, and it's really kind of cool. In order to get to a high-level symphony, the individual player, certainly first seat, second seat, and so forth, and what I mean by that is you might have 14 violinists, but the parts for the first violinist and second violinists are the most important in the lead, as it were. These people, I mean, the number one bassoon player in the New York Philharmonic, I have no idea, I just made this up, he probably has CDs out, you know what I mean? These guys are great. They have their own, everybody hears music their own kind of way. And a conductor's job is to get them going in the same direction. I find that to be very similar to a store manager. You've got all these individual players that are terrific and have their own ideas. And yet, what we're trying to do is get them going in a common direction with a goal in mind. That's a conductor. You're questioning whether or not the guy plays the violin very well. So, depending on the level of the orchestra and the let's just say the minimum requirements to even get in has a lot to do with your skills, ability, and knowledge on the instrument. So what you're saying is that people need to be good at selling. They need to learn how to open the sale and make presentations and close and handle objections and stalls and all this. And then not only that, but they're also a member of a team. So yes. To answer your question, all this can be accomplished, and it's not so complicated as long as we have a manager that wants to play the game and win, and individuals that want to play the game and win. And it's not necessarily the case that all salespeople need to be managed. I mean, I know I never did. I mean, I just was flat out motivated. I like the money. I like the action. Every time a customer said yes, I felt good at any price. I mean, if someone spent $20 and said, yes, I'll take it, I had a smile on my face. Or whether it was $1 million sale, I had a smile on my face. And I think what was interesting about me is that I never really cared about the size of the sale. I just wanted the win, you know, the win and loss column. I just wanted the win, and it's something that's been important to me.
Great. Well, Harry, any final thoughts on natural-born salespeople before we close our podcast for today?
Yeah. I think that sometimes we put artificial constraints on ourselves and we hold back a little bit. One of the reasons is that we're so afraid that we're going to come across as pushy or aggressive or obnoxious. We actually go 180 degrees in the opposite direction. So we're not as engaged, we're not as determined in the sales presentation. And so that's what I would say. I would say the natural born salesperson doesn't have the constraints. The person that's not as natural may put those constraints on themselves. And if they would just be free, let it go, and don't worry about it, I think they'd be better off. I will say this to you as the final. I've often asked store managers in relationship to their staff, how many complaints did you get this month because you were too pushy or aggressive? But your salespeople were too pushy or aggressive. And if a manager tells me that they've got no complaints, then I often wonder how backed off is that sales staff? I would rather calm people down than try to light a fire under their tush. So I think we have a lot of room to grow, to be more certain, more determined, more motivated to close deals. We have a long way to go until we hit that threshold of pushy. So my thing is, take your constraints off. You can fly much better when you don't have ankle weights. Or hand weights, you can fly better. So that's my advice. Let's start to fly. Take the weights off and let's fly.
You have been listening to Retail Revisited. If our conversation today inspired you, please be sure to rate us on iTunes or share us with your friends. You can see a full list of all our episodes at thefriedmangroup.com. And for more information on how the Friedman Group can transform your business, you can contact us at sales@thefriedmangroup.com. A special thanks to Harry J. Friedman for sharing his 35 years of unbelievable experience for all of us to hear.